My mind went back to a Thanksgiving in 1958. I started pastoring in July of 1958. I had no training except the kind of training you get for just being in church all your life. Small church. And immediately it began to grow, but on Thanksgiving Day of 1958, we had gone to my mother and father's house for Thanksgiving dinner. And we had just about finished, and the sheriff came, the county sheriff, and told me that I had an emergency call to go to back to Spiro. And there was a lady there, I had never met her, but she asked for me to come. Her son had been killed in a mining accident in New Mexico. And I was able to see her through that, being with her through all of the process, to see her accept Jesus and to follow Him in baptism. And I think about how that it's sad that sometimes it takes so much in our lives to get us to where we can see the spiritual. Tonight I'd like to share a message with you that I believe that can be a great benefit to us as individuals. I want to read a number of scriptures, and it would take hours to go through these scriptures and teach you, but I'm only building up to one particular scripture. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8, and just notice the richness of these verses as we share them together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, isn't that wonderful? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify or build up one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's look at that verse, because that verse is a lot easier read than it is put into action. It says, in everything. Now, of course, I wanted to know, does that mean everything? And the Greek word here literally means all, the whole, in every respect. Whatever we are to thank God. That's the first thing we're to do, is fall on our face and thank God. Whatever it is. Now this is not, by the way, an option. This is in the imperative. If you know anything about language, that means it's a commandment. It's not something you may or may not do. God commands me to thank Him for everything. That's the first thing He commands me. And if I do not do that, I am out from under the umbrella. And until I do that, I am outside the umbrella. Thank God for all things. That doesn't mean you like it. You don't have the idea that you have to like something to be thankful for it. It says, thank God for everything. And this means, what does it mean to be thankful? This means to have a mind of the benefits, seen or unseen, with a cheerful heart. Thanks means to have a mind that this is right, even though you don't understand it. It is working toward your good. Give thanks. For this is the will of God. How many people in the nearly 30 years I've been preaching have said, Brother Bill, if I just knew the will of God, I'd do it. Well, I can tell you one thing is the will of God. To give God thanks for everything. That much you know, this is the will of God. This is, the word will means the choice. Your will means this is the choice of God. In Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, it's easy now to say all that. How, as a pastor and a teacher, how can I help you and help myself to get into that pattern? Now, I'm going to very briefly give you four things that you have nothing to do with. You never have and you never will, that you are to be thankful for. And if you can begin, these are not specifics like the fact that I have a ruptured disc. That's not my problem. That has nothing to do with my problem. Nor does any physical thing you have, that's not the real problem. Neither is your emotional weaknesses. These are not your problem. Those are symptoms. But let me give you, and when you hear this, it'll be so simple and yet so difficult, unless you submit to God, four things to be thankful for that you have no power over at all. And yet, they rule your life. Now, the first one is the situation of your birth. You had nothing to do. Nothing to do with who your parents are, where you would be born, the color of your skin, or your genetic makeup. You had nothing to do with that. That was somehow, without going, we know the source, but this is something you had absolutely nothing to do with. Nothing. And yet, it has everything to do with your everyday life. Now, you must begin by thanking God for the circumstances of your birth, your parents, the land you were born in, the part of the country you were born in. I like to, Brother Phil and I have been to visit the hospital today, and we don't talk to each other a lot, like especially like eating and so on, you know. I mean, we are around each other all the time. You don't have to talk to people all the time. You know, that gets you where you can't stand each other. So I listen in on other conversations around me while I'm eating. Now, this is one of my favorite things because it's so wonderful to listen to people that don't know you're listening to them. And these two ladies were just talking, you know. And one said, I would give anything if I was tall. Oh, she was just so angry because she wasn't tall. And you know what I wanted to say to her? I didn't. Because I wanted to say, you're as tall as you think you are. This is all a matter of mental. It has nothing to do with exterior. And I wanted to say, think tall, woman, think tall. But I couldn't. I just had to listen. And that's tough. For a preacher. Very tough. Because I would have ruined it if I'd have started talking. But, but you know, we have two separate roads that people have taken. The exterior and the interior. Science, so-called, has pursued the exterior. And religion pursues the interior, supposedly. But you see, both of them should be, you have to find harmony in both. If you're all interior and you're always thinking about the inside of me and what I am inside and what I am spiritual, you're liable to walk off of a bluff, you know. You're liable to get hurt. Because you're thinking about interior all the time. And there has to be a way to find a harmony to those two. And it begins by being thankful for the circumstances of who you are now. Not what you want to be, but thank God for what you are and never stop thanking Him. No matter what the circumstances of your birth may be. Good or bad. Thank God for how it all started for you. That's number one. Can you love yourself to know that God Himself chose the circumstances of who you are and the genetic makeup of your body? That's the beginning. I thank you, God, for choosing the beginning. Now, I would not have chosen. You say, well, you've had it pretty good. I still would have chosen it that way. There are some things that I would have changed. But God has not seen fit to change them. And so it must be right. It must be for my good. I simply must come into harmony with that in my life. Give thanks for all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That takes faith. The second, you did not choose to have a sin nature. Somewhere before you were born, you didn't say, I want to have a sin nature. I want to have a nature where I can do wrong. You didn't choose that. I didn't ask to be that way. But I am that way. And I have sinned and you have sinned and there's only one human being and he was God in the flesh who lived on this earth who didn't sin. All human beings since Adam's first child and Eve's first child have a sin nature. It's a lot bigger problem for people than it is God. I mean, we don't like each other for one reason. And that's our weakness. Don't kid yourself. Another human being can never be so spiritual that they can accept the weaknesses in themselves and others. We can say, oh, I can pray for you. I'll stand by you. Now, I'm not being cynical, but for how long? For how long? Don't kid yourself. And I'm going to be very honest. Only God can accept and handle your sin nature. Because you, except for the grace of God, can't even handle your own. Much less somebody else's. And yet the Bible tells me a commandment. I must thank God for my nature. I don't understand that. It looked like I should say, God, I cannot thank you that I have the capacity to sin. But it says here, as plain as it says anything in the Bible, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. This is the choice of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks for the circumstances of your birth you had no control over, and the nature that you have towards sin that you had nothing to do with. You didn't ask for that nature. It came to you without you choosing it. And you can't get rid of it. You will die. The last breath you breathe will be a temptation to sin against God. And that's the truth. That's why that it only by God's grace can we overcome. And it amazes me as I see people overcoming the temptation that Job's wife said to him, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And I want to tell you, no one gets so spiritual, but what it is not, it is possible. It is possible in your last breath to curse God. But it will not happen. It will not happen if I thank God. If I learn to thank God for the circumstances of my coming into this world, which I had no power over, for the circumstances of this nature that I have. I don't know why God permits it, but He does, and I'm not alone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, can you begin? Now, this is not going to happen full grown. Can you begin? You say, "Well, I wouldn't mean it." Well, I'd start saying it. "God, I thank You for the very nature that I have. You have permitted me to have that nature. I'm not blaming You for my sins, God. But You do permit me to have a nature to where I could curse You. That nature You have given me." Now, this is tough on people. Because we've been made to believe that we make all the choices and God just says very few things that are really important did You have anything to do with. Oh, we think we make a lot of choices. But fundamentally, we make very few. And all I can do good about it is to thank God for everything. This is the will of God. You say, "I can't do it." Well, what other choice do you have? What's the next choice? You say, "I can't thank God. I won't thank God." Then what's the next choice? What's the opposite of thanking God? Cursing Him. And silence is not a positive force. The third thing that I had no choice over is how God has chosen to save people from their sin. Man did not get together as a big committee of highly religious people and say, "We have decided this is the way to be saved. We're going to have God come down and be crucified for our sins." No, we wouldn't have done it. We'd have done it the way that Cain did. Let me crucify me and you. That's the devil's way. But God chose a way to save all who would come to Him, and that is by the sacrifice of someone who was perfect, who vicariously, or who in our place, paid for all of our sins in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. And God could justify a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, because they accepted His way, God's way. God's chosen way to save people is by a blood sacrifice. And every animal that was sacrificed was a picture of the one who would die. You can't thank God for that salvation, that unless you have accepted it. And there's a strange thing. Once you are able to do the first two, or begin to do the first two, you don't have any problem with being saved God's way. Thank You, Father, for the salvation that You chose. And consequently, I must choose. What have we said? Thank God for the circumstances of how You entered this world, however it may be. And you know, some people say, "Well, it's wonderful to be in this world with everything normal. Well, my dear friend, if you could look inside of some of the people that you would like to be like, you'd run back to yourself and thank God for you. Because you see, it's not the outward afflictions that are the worst. It's those of the psychic, of the mind, that may not be seen ever by human beings. And yet those who have those must thank God. Thank God for the way you came into the world, for the fact that you are having a nature of Adam that is prone to sin. And then thank God for the salvation that He has chosen. We did not choose the way to be saved. He chose that way. And then, once you can be thankful for those three, the next one does not become a problem. That is, we do not choose when and how we leave this world. That's not our choice. God has a way for us to exit this physical life that will honor and glorify Him. Now you say, some people commit suicide. I don't think anyone in their right mind chooses that route. You say, did God choose it? I'm telling you that God has chosen that our exit. And I believe that He knows just the circumstances for me to leave this world. I don't know what that will be. I'll have no more to say about it than I had to say about getting in. But I believe that that's only the visible side. But I believe the invisible side is glorious and beautiful. No one looks forward to physical pain. That no one has that. But physical pain is not the beauty. But the beauty is the unseen of our spirit escaping from this body and entering the presence of the Lord. I believe God has chosen that we live with Him. And I will be here as long as I am effective in glorifying Him. And when my work is finished, and my work will be finished, thank God. Thank God there's an end to what I'm to do here. But that's the beginning. He said, that's easy to say. No, my friend, none of this is easy to say. Because none of it is human wisdom. So I should begin now. Not only thank God for the circumstance of my entering this world, and the nature I entered it with, and the salvation that's available for me while I'm here. But also, I must thank Him for the way He chooses for me to leave this world. I will leave this world. One of the things that I have wanted many times, and I haven't found the right spirit, to just call my children together and say, I want to do everything I can for you possibly every day. Because one day I won't be here. I'll be gone. And let me do everything I can. Because we have a special obligation to our children. We have a special obligation to everybody. And I should live every day as if it were my last on this earth. Because I don't know. Sometimes I'll be visiting someone in the hospital, and they appear to be, according to the doctors, near to the next world.
One of the things I tell them, don't feel so stuck up. I may not make it home. And I may not. I mean, I don't have any promise I'm going to see the next sunrise. But there is sunrise in glory. I want to start thanking God now for the grace He'll give me for that time. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't know how to say this like I should, but I believe you can leave this world dishonoring God. I believe you can. And that much choice I want to have by saying now, Lord, help me to so live every day that I will die with the kind of grace. I remember one lady. I remember a lot of people, but this one comes to my mind. I had a funeral service at 2 o'clock. They called me to a hospital. I went out there and I called the funeral home. I said, if I'm a little late, don't worry about it. I'll be there. And I remember her lifting up her head and smiling the most beautiful smile, and her head fell back and she went to be with Jesus. She died with the kind of grace that gave Jesus honor. You say, I don't like to hear a talker like that. Listen to me. Begin right now by thanking God for the circumstances of how you got in this world. Whatever it is. Thank Him for the nature that He gave you. Thank Him for the salvation He chose. Thank Him that He makes available a glorious exit, as well as a glorious entrance into His presence. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, it's my prayer that one thing, one particular thing has come to your mind that you have not been able to thank God for. It may, but whatever it is, remember, is an outgrowth of one of these four. It's a symptom from one of these four. It could be that you do not think that you're pretty, or you do not think that you're desirable, or you think that you are not acceptable, and you don't like yourself. Well, nobody else can like you if you don't like yourself. But if you like yourself in the right way, a balanced way, no one can despise. Because you'll look them right in the eye and you'll say, I don't care what you think, I'm beautiful. And I'm lovely. And I'm acceptable. And all the demons in hell can't change that because I know that I am. Because I have accepted what God, the material God, has put in my hands. Some of you are concerned because, and I'm going to hush in a minute here, some of you are concerned about the nature you have. Because as badly as you want to be perfect, whether it's in your personal life, in your marriage, in your profession, you're not satisfied with what you have accomplished. That's a sin. Now, I'm preaching to me now. Although I try to be that scatterbrained, who cares person, inside of me there is that, I could be perfect, you know. Do everything just perfect and split every hair and dot every I and cross every T and all of that. That's hell. Hell on earth. Because what happens is you can't get along with anybody very long because you just can't stand imperfection. Well, God has taken imperfection, chaos, and made this whole universe beauty. And all comes back to not thanking God for that nature you have that doesn't always make the right choices, doesn't always say the right things and have the right spirit. Well, somehow God says to me, thank me for this. You know what begins to happen? First of all, you begin to accept other people because you've learned to accept you. So tonight, my prayer is that I've helped you to have four basic areas where you can begin to thank God. And if you can't do it, that's what you need to concentrate on. Father,